Hi, I'm Dr. Olga Pinkston, a board-certified rheumatologist and the host of the Mind Your Fiber podcast. This podcast is dedicated to fibromyalgia. I discuss up-to-date information about fibro, its treatment, the biology and psychology of the fibromyalgia. I cover the pain science education, the complementary and alternative methods available to you now to improve your symptoms. There are a lot of things that influence development of fibromyalgia, trigger fiber flares, and produce other symptoms like IBS or irritable bowel syndrome, depression, and anxiety, and none of them are your fault. In the Mind Your Fiber podcast, you will learn how and why fiber develops, how chronic pain changes your brain, and most importantly, that you're not alone in the struggle, that fiber is real, and how to not let fiber control your life. This podcast provides information only and does not provide any medical or psychological services or advice. Well, welcome back to Mind Your Fiber podcast, episode number 16. Thank you so much for listening. A few weeks ago, I was talking to one of my patients, and she told me that she was astonished that she's not in a wheelchair. Now, this was a young woman, only a few years older than me, with relatively mild rheumatoid arthritis, fully functioning without a hint of disability. Her RA is well controlled with medication. She has no pain, she's fully employed, and seems happy. I was puzzled by her comment, so I asked her to explain. So here's her story. When she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, she was in graduate school, about to graduate, engaged to be married, full of hopes and dreams. The RA diagnosis was a shock. She gradually developed pain, then joint swelling that finally led to the diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis by another rheumatologist she used to see. She started treatment. What was a relatively common diagnosis unfortunately triggered extreme anxiety. So she quit her graduate program, not graduating, and now not working in the field she dreamed about working. She broke up with her fiancé. He did not sign up to marry a disabled person, but he was too nice to tell me that, and she decided to never have children, although she always dreamed about being a mother. She thought she would be in a wheelchair within a few years of the diagnosis and change her world to prepare herself for that. Years later, she's not disabled, nor is she in a wheelchair. She's not in pain. She's a fully functional adult who now regrets altering her life to accommodate a possibility that never happened. She was grieving over her choices, and I was grieving with her. Unfortunately, her story is not unique, maybe somewhat more dramatic than other stories I hear. Her story is an example of catastrophizing. Catastrophizing is a cognitive distortion that prompts people to jump to the worst possible conclusion, usually with very limited information or objective reason to lose hope. When a situation is upsetting but not necessarily catastrophic, people still feel like they are in the midst of a crisis. Now, everyone has negative thoughts, but for some people, negative thinking can spin out of control and out of proportion to the reality of a situation. A relatively small error, disappointment, or source of embarrassment, or even the possibility of one, a lab result, a symptom, or diagnosis, can sometimes become a cause for significant fear or distress, a catastrophe in one's mind. Catastrophizing is a very common behavior in someone who has chronic pain. I see this in my clinic very often. Now, some concern about your pain is natural and doesn't present a problem. But if you find yourself constantly worrying about the pain and thinking the worst, you are catastrophizing. Every time you excessively worry, you activate your nervous system, you signal more danger to the brain, which creates all pain, and as a result, you will feel more pain more often. You probably are doing this not only about your health, but also many other aspects of your life, your job, relationships, world crisis, or something even as simple as being late for an appointment or getting stuck in traffic. You may tend to go for the worst case scenario. So today we will talk about catastrophizing and how you can unlearn this behavior. This thinking pattern can itself be destructive because unnecessary and persistent worry can worsen anxiety and depression, as well as your pain and other fibro symptoms. This behavior and the way of thinking does not serve you nor your health. What is symptom or pain catastrophizing? Catastrophizing pain or symptom is defined as a persistent pattern of distressing mental and emotional responses to present or anticipated pain or symptom. Basically, catastrophizing is your thoughts, beliefs, not reality, that you have about pain or other symptoms, disease or events, like a procedure, test, or surgery. An example would be every time you have recurrent migraine pain, you may think you have undiagnosed cancer, a brain tumor, even though you had had migraines since age 15 and now you're 45, and the pain is similar to every migraine you ever had before. Now, there are two critical things you have to understand. Number one, that this is not your fault. Worrying about pain is a rational response. The second is that you can learn to change it. I had patients who improved this behavior just by learning they were doing it. There are three ways you can be catastrophizing about your pain and symptoms: rumination, magnification, and helplessness. Not everyone will experience them all, and they will vary in severity. Again, catastrophizing is just thoughts formed in your brain. You may have different thoughts on different days, based on your pain level, other symptoms, or what else is happening in your life. So number one is rumination. This simply means that you cannot get the pain or other symptom off your mind. You may constantly be thinking how much it hurts, feel unable to distract yourself or focus on anything else. Rumination involves negative thought patterns that are immersive and repetitive. The word rumination literally means the action of a cow chewing the cud. Cows chew grass, regurgitate, chew some more, and regurgitate again. So when we ruminate about a symptom or anything else in our life, we keep thinking about it, chewing on it, not letting go. Many people slip into rumination when they're trying to process their feelings, but they become stuck in negative patterns of replaying past hurts, past events, without moving forward solutions or feelings of resolution. Number two is magnification. This means you may be focused on events that haven't even happened yet, thinking about how much worse they could potentially make you hurt, or be worrying about how your chronic pain condition is going to worsen over time. Magnification is a process of enlarging the apparent size, not the physical size, of something. A magnifying glass is an example. It is a form of an altered reality. Enlarged pain based on your thinking, not facts. The example of my patient, she magnified her rheumatoid symptoms to the point of wheelchair disability. You may also enlarge or magnify your symptoms if you preemptively think about pain after standing or sitting too long before pain actually happens. Number three is helplessness. This involves feeling as though you are not in control of your pain or symptoms, that your condition or symptoms are running your life. You may feel there is nothing you can do to improve your life or your symptoms, essentially that there is no hope. Helplessness is the belief that there is nothing that you can do to improve a bad situation, such as being diagnosed with an illness like fibromyalgia. In many ways, helplessness is a belief that control over the situation or its outcomes is impossible. Like all beliefs, helplessness is learned and practiced. You stop looking for a solution. You want someone to rescue you, find someone to take charge, control the situation, or fix it. I see examples of helplessness in my clinic often. Some patients take no responsibility for their health or much of their life, wanting someone else to take on decision-making or be in charge of them. A husband, for example, may give all control over his health decisions to his wife. Although he may act as he simply does not care or she knows better, often it is disguised helplessness, being afraid and hopeless. He may not follow through with any treatment at all, as he has already lost the battle. His wife is still fighting, looking for a solution, spinning her wheels, but he is just barely going with the flow. She has to nag him about everything. He has no motivation nor engagement. So what causes catastrophic thinking? At the root of catastrophic thinking are fear and low self-esteem. We believe we are incapable of handling problems and imagine ourselves helpless. Those who struggle with catastrophic thinking most likely dealt with a traumatic childhood. They may have seen parents who overreacted or panicked about perceived situations. So how does catastrophizing affect fibromyalgia and chronic pain? Pain catastrophizing has been proven to worsen pain, increase disability, decrease functioning, and worsen mental health. One study found that pain catastrophizing accounted for up to 31% of the variance in pain severity. So the negative thoughts and behaviors can worsen the pain level by one-third. So let's look at how and why catastrophizing affects chronic pain and other fibro symptoms in such severe way. Number one is increased stress. Being in a constant state of worry can result in increased stress levels. My earlier podcast episodes discussed the pain-stress connection in great detail. More stress leads to more pain. Number two is the brain learns pain. I discussed in the past episodes the concept of neuroplasticity and central sensitization. Our brains are neuroplastic, which means they learn from what is happening in our environment and what our bodies experience. Chronic pain changes our brain, changes the nervous system pathways, meaning that our brain learns that it should produce pain in certain situations. By expecting and worrying that certain actions are going to worsen your pain, you are reinforcing to your brain that these situations should cause pain. Our nervous system becomes overactive and stuck in the fight or flight response. Next is fear avoidance. Anticipating pain getting worse with activity can lead to fear of movement, also called kinesiophobia. I will discuss kinesiophobia or fear of movement in one of the future episodes. So you may begin to avoid situations that you feel could worsen your pain due to this fear. As you avoid activity, your body becomes deconditioned, meaning your muscles weaken. Deconditioning makes further activity harder as your body is not prepared for it, which reinforces to your brain that your worries were right, because the activity did cause pain. I see it often with patients. For example, the patient starts physical therapy. He starts hurting after first session, so he skips a few weeks, thinking PT hurt him, although in reality, it was his deconditioning that created a normal discomfort, as it should if the muscles were not used in a while. So after a few weeks, he goes back to PT and hurts again. His distorted thinking is that PT causes pain, not that deconditioning and lack of movement causes pain. It contributes to fear of movement. Another way is exaggerated muscle responses. Catastrophizing about a specific area of the body, being in pain, can affect the reactions of the muscles in that area. For example, if you have chronic pain in your lower back and you are intensely focused on this area of your body, it can cause the muscles in your lower back to be overactive, tense, and more painful. As you tell, feeling constantly worried about your pain and other symptoms can take a real toll on your mental health. Anxiety can develop or worsen. Often the feeling of helplessness, a lack of control or normalcy about your life, and living with the pain being at all-consuming and primary focus of your everyday attention can lead to depression. So addressing the anxiety and depression does improve the pain as well as catastrophizing. So what can you do about it? Here are a few possibilities. Number one is think through the actual pain or symptoms. Chances are that you had this pain or symptom before. What is the best case scenario? What is the more probable outcome, typical outcome? Do you catch yourself thinking of the worst case scenario by default? Number two, find a catastrophic thought and replace it with a more realistic thought. As soon as you realize you're catastrophizing, and it can take some time to be aware of that, label the thought as catastrophizing and come up with an alternative that might better reflect what is really going on. So instead of saying, this pain has ruined my day, try, I'm disappointed that I cannot do what I wanted to do today. Do not minimize the pain or symptoms either. I heard plenty of people describe something really painful and then say, but it's fine. If it's not fine, do not try to pretend it is fine. It is not healthy either. Things do not have to be all good or all bad. Pain can be moderately severe, and if the symptoms are moderately severe, it's good to acknowledge that too. The goal should be a realistic sense of the severity of pain and not simply to pretend everything that happens is positive or okay. Next is know that it takes time and practice to get good at this. You're changing your brain habits. You probably catastrophized for many, many years. You need time to undo this habit. You need time to practice. Remember, awareness is first step. You need to keep reflecting on your thoughts. Recall your prior experiences and outcomes. Catch your thoughts that do not serve you. Pain catastrophizing can be tackled and overcome, allowing you to gain real reductions in persistent pain. Many types of therapy can help. It's about finding what you feel will work for you. Counseling to deal with anxiety and depression can help reduce the feelings of helplessness that comes with pain catastrophizing. CBT or cognitive behavior therapy helps you to replace negative catastrophizing thoughts and behaviors with positive thoughts and behaviors. Life coaching is great. Life coaching also is very helpful in changing thoughts and influencing behavior change. Therapy and coaching can help you to realize that a negative thought about your pain is just a thought. The thought does not have to progress into catastrophizing, but at the same time, doesn't need to be pushed aside. It allows you to think something negative and then move on, taking power away from the thought and not allowing the thought to influence your behavior. Also, do not dismiss medications. If your catastrophic thinking is related to another existing mental health condition, like anxiety or depression, medication may be a practical choice. SSRIs and other antidepressants have been helpful tools in conjunction with therapy. Also, reducing stress and the fear-pain cycle are also helpful with reducing the symptoms, thus reducing the need to catastrophize. As I discussed in the earlier episodes, understanding that most chronic pain is neuroplastic may take away the pain, and teaching you that the chronic pain isn't something to worry about builds confidence and tackles catastrophizing. If you find yourself afraid of movement, of any activity that can potentially induce pain, the graded exposure therapy tackles negative beliefs and fears about pain in a gradual yet head-on way, aiding patients to face the activities that they fear a step at a time to remove the fear. Also, it can be beneficial to find a physical therapist who understands the psychology of pain and graded exposure, who may be trained in CBT or mindfulness. Bottom line, with the proper treatment and guidance, pain and symptom catastrophizing can be overcome. Your pain does not have to control your life. Thank you for listening. Until next week. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, the best thing you can do is to share with someone and leave a review and rating. This helps me support more people just like you move toward better life with fibromyalgia. All you have to do is to go to the platform you're listening on, click the share button or the icon, and just send it to a friend. I so appreciate you taking your time to do so. Make sure you sign up or subscribe to this podcast so you can get the most up-to-date information in the new episodes. Thanks for joining me today, and I will see you next week. And don't forget to mind your fibro. Disclaimer, this podcast provides information only and does not provide any medical or psychological services or advice. None of the content on this podcast prevents, cures, or treats any medical or mental condition.